You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Managing Budget Podcast listeners? It is Saturday morning. Currently 9 a.m. Eastern / 3 p.m. Central European time. What a crazy, crazy weird day. Woke up to the news that Karim Benzema is officially leaving. That was an entire roller coaster of a week. The last few days, he's leaving, he's not leaving. Carlos saying he has one more year left on his contract, which there was kind of a bit of a surprise. Not an entire surprise, but kind of, because it was never officially announced. But then it turns out that Carlo is, a tier Z source, just like Zidane was with transfers. And Benzema is officially leaving now. So that opens up an entire discussion of what comes next. But more importantly, before we get to that, I think there needs to be a discussion on Benzema himself as the greatest striker in Real Madrid history and how weird it's going to be not having him around. This is not that. Today, we're going to basically turn the post-game show for the last game of the season, Athletic, later today. That's going to go up tonight. We're going to basically turn that post-game show into kind of like an end-of-season exit survey kind of deal, which will be also combined with an emergency Benzema podcast. So this is not that. This is just something else that was recorded on Thursday in the mailbag over on patreon.com/managingmadrid. Lucas and I were asked about Harry Kane, short-term deals, long-term deals, Firmino. And even though it was a few days ago, I think the conversation is still relevant now because it does take into the equation that Benzema might leave. So we discuss what the options are. And there's also a bonus segment at the end, which is about the myth that English players can succeed in La Liga, and I go through and debunk that. So that's the clip today. It's going to be really busy. There's going to be news breaking that we don't even know about yet. Yesterday, Asensio, Mariano, Hazard, that became official. The Hazard one was definitely kind of interesting, but I mean, it goes to show you what kind of career Hazard had at Real Madrid, that he's not even going to get a tribute or emergency podcast. He's just going to be kind of mentioned in passing as a footnote. That in itself is quite surreal to think about, but yeah, enjoy today's clip. If you want access to the full thing, patreon.com/managingmadrid. A ton of bonus content. And also, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles. Houston, we just announced. If you're in Houston and you want to come see us, we're doing a live podcast there. The venue and date, time, all that is now finalized. Go to the show notes, click on the link, and book your spot to the Houston podcast before July 1st because prices go up. And yeah. Los Angeles and Dallas, just keep your eyes peeled. We're going to announce that in the next week or so, okay? All right, enjoy today's clip. Let's get it.
The Weeknd says, hey guys, with the way the striker market this window is looking like, do you think we should go for Firmino instead of Harry Kane and have Latasa or Alvaro play as his direct backup for this one? This one season as Mbappe and or Haaland would be attainable next summer, and Endrick's arrival coinciding with that. And why haven't we been linked with Bernardo Silva, who I feel is the perfect answer for our right-wing problems, especially with Asensio leaving? All right, let's start with basically the Firmino Harry Kane dilemma, which is kind of long term versus short term commitment.
Are we willing to like punt on next season and tank already? Because this is what this question looks like to me, if I'm being totally honest. Like, are we willing to punt and tank next season in order to have a chance, only have a chance, to sign either Mbappe or Haaland in 2024, which I'm not entirely convinced of that possibility being that realistic or that possible or attainable, if you will. So I don't know. I think Real Madrid it depends a lot on your perspective. Do you want to waste a season of Vinicius and Rodrigo? Do you want to waste a season of peak Courtois? Do you want to waste the last, quite possibly the last elite season from Kroos by having a Firmino and Lataza / Alvaro offensive line, which by any means it would be extremely mediocre and would pretty much prevent you from winning anything next season apart from maybe the Copa del Rey. I'm not sure. I don't think Real Madrid should do these kinds of moves or these kinds of tanking similar to what other NBA teams are doing. So my answer would be no. My answer would be no, especially if you don't have the certainty of signing neither Haaland nor Mbappe in 2024. It's not a certainty. So I would definitely not tank or punt on a season just to have that possibility.
So I haven't heard Latasa's name in a long time, but it's a hard pass for me. Like, if it's obviously between him and Alvaro, it's a no-brainer, it's Alvaro. Latasa's just not up for this task, even as a backup. But, you know, I do those daily Instagram, like, questions and answers. A lot of questions were like, should we tank next year? And I was like, what does tanking really mean in this context? Because I grew up, like, watching the NBA, and NBA tanking means you are rewarded for tanking by getting a draft pick. That's not how football works, obviously. And with Real Madrid, there's no patience for punting out on a season. You know, it's just, there's zero patience for that stuff. Like, if we're going to ask to be not signing a replacement for Benzema and just going all in 2024, which, as you said, is not a guarantee to get either of those two stars, it's a really risky business. But if you were to juggle it, it essentially comes down to Firmino short term or Harry Kane long term. And I guess
not that very long term though.
4 years, let's say.
Yeah. Not sure, but okay, let's put it
like,
4 years.
Like, you and I agree. We're on the same page that if you get Harry Kane,
sure,
you want him on a short term deal. But realistically speaking, if Real Madrid were to get him, definitely, I don't think they would agree to that.
Absolutely. Like, it would be 4 years a minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be 4 years, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah, but in terms of his performances, I don't think you can bank on him being elite for the next 4 years.
4 years only takes him to 33-ish.
All right, I thought he was a bit older then.
So did I, only because it just feels like he's been around for so long and he, you know. All right, he is only 29.
Let's say 4 years then. Okay,
It's not that bad. Like, some people have pointed out to me, like, hey, Keon, like, he hasn't been that injured in the last few years, which I think is fair enough. And the other thing I would say also, in addition to that, is that a lot of people want to compare him to Hazard in terms of an older player you have to spend a lot of money on. The difference, obviously, is that Harry Kane is more professional. He takes care of himself.
I'm a big fan of Harry Kane. I'm a big fan of the potential deal, even. My problem is the fee. My problem is the fee for years that you would be able to enjoy him. Because, to be honest, when you sign these $100 million transfers, and you don't... You are at least expecting that that's not going to be your only contract, your one and only contract with the player. You know, you expect to keep him maybe for at least two or three more contracts. It happened with Ronaldo, obviously. It happened with Bale. It's going to happen with Tuameni if he is able to perform at a high level. So it's quite clear that Kane would only have maybe one contract and then a single year extension on his tank. So... my only problem would be the transfer fee. I'm a big fan of Harry Kane, the player. I'm a huge, huge fan. I really like him. I think people would be impressed and surprised by what he can offer, really. He would be a very good replacement for Benzema on a tactical standpoint. So I'm a big fan. My problem is that I don't see him leaving Tottenham for less than 100, and I don't think he's worth that at this stage of his career.
Definitely not worth 100. Like, the numbers of, like, 80 million, look, it seems really high. But I will just say this. If you lose Benzema and you have no one next year apart from Alvaro and possibly Firmino, I think 80 million is worth it.
Oh, you're desperate.
It's a point of desperation, right? And look, if let's be really honest. Harry Kane is still in his peak.
Yeah.
If Harry Kane comes in and gives you 30 goals a year,
which he can do,
which he absolutely can do, maybe even more because he's never been really around this much talent.
And the playmaking also. He's a huge player.
He may actually score more goals than he did at Tottenham. That's worth 80 million to me. That is. It is. No, it is, man. Come on. Like, in this market especially, but this is a question that many people have. Like, does that mean you can't get Erling Haaland in 2024? Probably. Just like with City, if they ended up getting Harry Kane, but the deal collapsing at the end. Or I don't know if collapsing is the right word, but Levy was just not going to sell him to City. They wouldn't have got Haaland. So it worked out for them. Now we're in a situation where if we get Kane, we probably won't get Haaland in 2024, if that is even on the table. But I don't think it would get in the way of an Mbappe signing.
Real Madrid and Real Madrid fans should stop planning the team's squad relying on Mbappe / Haaland. You get, you start thinking about that when that possibility comes. We should not build the squad and face the planification for the entire next season based on what might happen or might not happen with Mbappe and Haaland in 2024. This is just my, what happened last summer with Mbappe. It's clear to me that you always have to have a sustainable and a quality plan B with these kinds of transfers, with big oil clubs involved. You just cannot trust these situations anymore. You just can't. You just cannot trust these players to choose Real Madrid for half the money they are going to make in their current clubs. You just can't. So we should stop doing this roster building around the idea of potentially signing either Haaland or Mbappe in 2024, in my opinion. So again, your point is, we're on the same page. Where it seems to me that we are both fans of Kane as a player. But again, 80 million, when I spend 80 million, I probably expect at least a few more contracts, man. Not just the one.
And in 2023, that's hard to do, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to do.
Don't you think, I think there's a question about him. Don't you think you could get Lautaro for a similar fee? Similar.
Yep. You for 80 million?
Similar. Let's say 110.
Now I'm confused because I'd rather have Harry Kane than Lautaro anyway. And if Lautaro is going to be more expensive than Harry Kane?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
But why? Why?
Kane is a better player, but Lautaro has, what, a decade left in his tank? Probably also a smaller deal in terms of his salary. Kane is the better player. I realize it, but I think Lautaro is still. How old is Lautaro? 25?
25, yeah.
I don't know. Those extra 4 years might make the difference for me, if I'm being honest. when I'm, you know, in order for me to be that comfortable of spending about spending the, that much on an attacker, you know, the possibility of having this player for a decade instead of for the next 4 years, to me, it makes a big difference. Plus, we don't know. We can say the same about Kane, because it's true that he hasn't had the help that he would have in Real Madrid. But definitely, we can say the same about Lautaro. I feel like we don't know. I think Lautaro could be a lot better than he's been in Inter, you know, considering how defensive minded is the Serie A. I'm not saying Lautaro is the best striker in the world, but to me, the gap between them both isn't that big for me to pass on those extra 4 years.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends what your squad looks like. I kind of see Lautaro as someone who can't be your main goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But as a complementary kind of player or someone who comes in off the bench. And I think maybe that disrespects him a little bit because obviously he is Inter's starter and has scored solid amount of goals. I guess you're taking it, if you go from Lautaro to Harry Kane, you're going from a good goal scorer to a great goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if you're justifying Lautaro for a long-term deal on a similar price, possibly more, I just don't know if he's the guy. I don't know.
You can also talk yourself into not signing Lautaro because Rodrigo is a similar profile in the center. Kane is more of a difference maker. So I get all the points. To me, Kane makes sense, and Real Madrid will be in a desperate spot when/if the Benzema situation is confirmed. So I could see it happening. I would support it happening also. I think Real Madrid will be in a desperate spot, and I don't think the Firmino /Alvaro offensive line is enough for a club like Real Madrid unless you're just accepting tanking at this point.
Drumil Caria says, and this will be the last one we take, hey guys, a question for the next mailbag. I love Jude Bellingham and I hope he does well with us. But historically, when Englishmen have played for us, they haven't necessarily been the best transfers. Is that just a myth or is it really true? I would love to know your thoughts on this. Thank you.
It is absolutely true. Whether that's because of coincidence or because there's something behind that fact, we just don't know yet. But it's definitely and 100% true. It's, you know, what you can see Woodgate, you can see, well, it's true that Bale became a legend here, but in terms of them establishing themselves in the Spanish culture, learning the language, being comfortable around the press and all that, it's not ideal for them. But it's true that you can make an argument for players like Bale or Beckham that they worked out, but the ones that didn't failed massively. So, but I think we can establish the fact that at least they don't, not even one of them has actually embraced and actually accepted the culture and the language all that well. So I don't know. I think Bellingham is young enough. And also possibly the experience of him having to play in Germany for the last 2 or 3 years will be huge in this regard. You know, he's already used to playing in different country than the United Kingdom. So I think it will be, I'm hoping and I think it will be pretty much a non-factor for Bellingham.
That last point is interesting, of the fact that he has played outside of England and he may be already adapted to, you know, being away from England. That's a point I haven't really thought about. It's a good point. But I'm very excited to disagree with you about the other part, about Englishmen not succeeding. So first of all, I'll say that it's not a massive list. It's not like, you know, we have 100 players to look at and look at the sample size and the data and say, okay, this doesn't work. The sample size is small. It's not, I think it's way too small to say this is a bad idea to say English players don't work. I also think that when we look at the sample size, we're way too quick to judge it. Like, this is the reality. And we'll start with Lauri Cunningham.
Yeah.
Lauri Cunningham was one of the best wingers in the world when he was healthy. Like, he was an incredible, incredible footballer. Maybe even one of the more underrated ones you've had in our history. But he also had a couple major injuries, which were devastating, and he couldn't recover from. That's not the club's fault. The other one is... Or sorry, that's not the player's fault. Nor is it really the club's fault, who gave him a shot, and he was amazing. Especially against Barcelona in a historically one of the better classical performances we've had in our history from an individual player. And then you have Steve McManaman, who, as much as fans are annoyed with his commentary, was absolutely a success. Came in and immediately helped us play better football on the wing, an attacking presence, an attacking midfielder. Versatile enough to switch flanks when Figo came, and then continue to earn his place when Zidane came. One of the best players of that decade, scored in the Champions League final. Great success. David Beckham, like, you talk about embracing culture, Lucas. He did that.
No,
the fans loved him, man. First of all, he worked really hard.
Yeah.
He tried his
Everyone
best to
loves
learn Spanish
Beckham.
Right away. He was always wearing Real Madrid attire, like even
Spanish.
From day one.
I don't think I've ever heard him speaking Spanish in a fluent way in a press conference, if you will.
No, I don't think he was fluid in talking in Spanish. But
radio interviews, press conference, players delivered press conferences back in the day, and pretty much every single week. I don't recall Beckham speaking Spanish, but anyway, you know, you also had those controversial quotes from Victoria, his wife, about Spain and all that. So I don't think he embraced it. It's true that the fans loved him. Everyone loves Beckham. Period. It ends there. But I don't think he embraced the culture. I wouldn't go as far as saying that.
Well, I don't know what it means to embrace the culture, to be quite honest. Like, what is it that is expected?
Modric, for example, I think.
So what did Modric do to embrace the culture? Just learn the language?
Yeah, basically learn the language and being willing to speak the language with the rest, that language with the rest of his teammates. I see Modric talking to his each and every one of his teammates in Spanish, for example. I don't know. I guess it's
like we know that Beckham went and made the effort to learn Spanish. And while I don't think he became absolutely fluent, maybe like a Modric, but his Spanish understanding was pretty good by the end of it. Like, it wasn't in the first couple of years, but he was taking Spanish classes. He was trying to learn. Like, but the bottom line is whether he was fluent in Spanish or not, giving Spanish press conferences or not, which he wasn't doing. There are a few videos of him speaking Spanish. They weren't press conferences, but the bottom line is fans loved him and he played.
Yeah,
good
sure.
Football.
So I would
consider him a success.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. If you fast forward, Michael Owen was just a bad signing for the club. It had nothing to do with him being English. Like, why did we bring him? Raul Morientes, Ronaldo Nazario.
Same as Woodgate.
Yeah, and granted, he actually had a good goal scoring ratio when he played.
Yeah,
which didn't make sense as a good signing.
Yeah,
Woodgate was just a disaster because he was injury riddled, and not because he was English.
Correct.
And so that, I don't think it has to do with being English or not. I think we take this sample size and we just kind of exaggerate this narrative.
I call it
a myth.
That's fair.
Sports Social Podcast Network.